Hey guys, we're back to talk about Elias Grace, part 4, 5, and 6. Did she do it? We have more questions ourselves. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. Probably get familiar. My leather jacket
thriller. Nice. Lady Killer.
Well, Lady Killer is right. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Elias Grace on our Netflix reviews and coverage. I'm your host, Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. And this lovely lady next to me.
Hey guys, I'm Ashley Sullivan. You can find me on Instagram at Ashley Sullivan Actress.
Well, guys, we're here to talk about part 4, 5, and 6 of Elias Grace, which is a lot to take in.
There was a lot.
In this last half.
I sort of feel like I need to go, like, I want to write an essay on this show, because there's so much to it. I mean, this could be like a final paper in college. There's a lot going on.
A term
on.
Paper about murders.
Yeah, like your thesis could easily be on this show, I think.
If you're majoring in film, I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because they're... We'll go into it, but there's just a lot going on.
There is a lot. So we open part 4, obviously her being in the prison and seeing another inmate getting beat, whipped.
Right.
Because she wanted extra food. Because we need food to live. So she wanted to grab a little extra bread.
Right. I think, it's highlighting the abuse that goes on in those prisons and for something as simple as trying to get extra bread. And the guards use that as a threat as she's leaving, that, you know, if she acts out, that's going to be her next. So she's constantly living in this, you know, state of fear that she's going to be abused.
Because she has been before, and her experience, it's more likely to happen again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Dr. Jordan is fantasizing.
Once again.
Once again about our Grace. And it's just hot. I'm not going to trip. Like, it's creepy as it's supposed to be. It's just not to me. I just think it's hot.
It's hot. They're his fantasy.
He has good taste.
Okay. Well, that's funny because there's really no, there's no real romance in the show. So that's your little sliver of time when you see something sort of sweet happening, even if it's a fantasy. So, yeah, it's sexy.
It's sexy. And then so we have McDermott's confession versus Grace's confession.
Right.
McDermott, that he says that, you know, Grace led him on.
Right.
She was the reason why she did it for him, because she told him that's what she wanted.
Right, that she was sort of putting these ideas into his head that, you know, that Nancy thought she was better than them and that they shouldn't be treated the way they're being treated, and that he was, sort of seduced in a way by Grace.
And just interesting just hearing his confession that he gave, like, right before the trial was just interesting. I'm like, why did you wait so long?
Absolutely. And was because he was, I mean, who knows why, but... According to Grace and Jamie, the lawyers were feeding information to them, so perhaps
like
that
lawyers
was,
will do,
right? I mean, yeah. So maybe that was part of why he did that.
And then Grace's confession is that she just saw McDermott drag Nancy into the cellar, and that's kind of all she remembers, like seeing in her mind's eye as we're slowly getting to the final. The final day of their death.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, you see sort of different variations of, like, what we think is the truth. I mean, there's one moment where Grace is saying that she was in the garden and she was, you know, she was looking at the snail and she was told, okay, it's done, you know, that she didn't see anything. And then as we get into episode 5 and 6,
we discover
more. But, yeah, it's, you know, in that fourth episode... We're sort of led to believe that she really had nothing to do with it and that she was shocked that McDermott was even thinking of doing that to them.
Because in her mind, you know, he's a boister. Like, boisters just like to voice. They don't really actually do any actions.
Right. I think, yeah, at first she wasn't really sure. And then she started to, you know, well, okay, if you're going to do it, don't do it on Thursday. You need to push it.
Or don't do it on Friday where she's going to be in her bedroom and I have to, and it's my job to clean the floors. So right. I would suggest you not doing on, yeah. making more work for myself.
Exactly. Which Dr. Jordan noted was very odd.
It might be odd, but that's logical thinking. I'm not going to trip it. That, no, you're right. For me, it was logical. Like, if I'm Grace, and if I really can't stop you from killing anybody...
Right, you're gonna...
And I literally cannot stop you, because you're a grown man, and you have a lot more strength than me.
Just and you to, might kill me, yeah.
And you might kill me, too. So, in that case, I'm just going to be... Just don't do it in the bedroom. I have to do the floors. I would just appreciate you not making more work for me.
Right. No, you know what's very interesting about Grace is like that she does have a very practical way of thinking. And that is very practical. You know, like there is a part of her that she's like so earnest. It's like it's almost startling because it's like, well, that's such an odd thing to say. But you're right. It's very, you know, it makes sense. Like it's very practical. So...
For her to be so young, she is very practical.
She like, is.
I give her props for that. And so later we find out in the episode that Nancy used to be a rebel.
Right.
And that she, her last name was Montgomery, like the Montgomery Tavern that burned down in town, that they used to hold all the rebel meetings.
Right.
So, and then we later find out in the episode how she ended up with Kinnear.
Right.
But you're trying to figure out what is a rebel doing with Kinnear.
Right.
And why? And then she also believes she's fat, which is like just early anorexia a little bit.
Well, I think that was she knew she was pregnant already, and at that point, Kinnear wasn't aware
because guys are kind of stupid,
right? Well, and she was also so afraid that if you know, as soon as he found out, she was worried he was going to kick her out, and
he would have,
which he would have, which is the whole reason why Nancy let Grace and McDermott go. You know, she didn't want she knew that if Grace
was still there,
yes,
I'd be replaced.
Yes.
Knows she's not there.
Right. Like Mr. Kinnear would have definitely kicked Nancy out and Grace would have filled her spot. So to defend herself and not let that happen, she had to let Grace and McDermott go. Because no one's gonna, it's not okay to have a child out of wedlock back then.
Apparently. So, you know, they go to church in town and everybody's staring. And I found what Grace said, I wrote it down. It was, God is everywhere. He cannot be caged as men can be. And it just, even back in that time, the hypocrisy of religion itself, because I'm assuming people are Christian, even if it is in Canada, I'm assuming they're Christian. So, just the hypocrisy, like, and people don't realize their own hypocrisy within their own religion.
Right, because they're sitting there judging Kinnear with Nancy and Grace. They're judging that situation. And yeah, that's a very, like, progressive sort of highlight on religion. And yeah, you're right. It can be very hypocritical, especially in that moment. And it caused them to get up and leave the church.
It called Nancy to get up and leave. Yeah. I think Grace is kind of fine where she was. She's like, I'm just going to listen to the word today.
Right. She's probably, yeah.
I'm not really.
And I can't remember if that was before Grace was actually aware of the situation. Because we had our theories.
Yeah, we had our suspicions that they were knocking boots and they were knocking boots.
Right. That Nancy was more than a servant, but really she was a mistress. But I think it was the fourth episode where McDermott tells Grace.
Yeah.
And she's completely horrified and shocked, which...
No, but then he goes into great detail about it. It was just the fact that he went farther than just saying they're sleeping together. No, they're not only sleeping together. It's the fact that she was pregnant and miscarried the baby, but Kinnear still took her in.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Which no gentleman would do back
right.
in those days.
Right. So, you know, in a way, I got to give him a point there for taking her in and not, you know, just treating her like a piece of garbage. Yeah.
He did. Well, he doesn't treat her like a piece of garbage. He treats her like a piece of ass.
Absolutely. But the fact that he, you know, he actually let her in. Like, okay, fine.
There's a free point. Free ass, I'm just saying.
No, but like, I mean, it's terrible. It's all... we're talking levels of terrible here.
It is, but I love McDermott's... His... euphemism I want to say, where he said about the turtle and the woman, about a turtle on his back is almost as good as being a woman who's on her back, because you know that once they're on their back, they can't get back right side up. You can't turn yourself right side back up once you've been on your back.
Absolutely. That was smart. No, you know what? That's a great, that obviously to me is sort of just a great example or, summary of what this show represents. You know, it's like these women are put in these positions where they have no power. They're completely powerless. So it causes them to do things that, they wouldn't do otherwise. And it really just, this whole show is going into the power play between men and women and positions of power.
And the fact that back then most men didn't believe women had any power except for being on their back.
Exactly. Well, on this whole show, it's like that's what the show is about. This is, it's Grace's moment of having any sort of powers, is telling the story and being this murderous, to the public.
Because everybody loves a good murderess.
Right. Well, they thought, that's what was fascinating to them. Otherwise, she was just a servant. Who cares?
And then, we have the scene between Jamie and Grace. It's really adorable and sweet because he's a couple years, a year or so younger than Grace.
Uh-huh.
But for the eyes of where we are, you're a woman when you're 15 and 16. But when you're a boy and you're 13 and 14, you're still only seen as a little boy.
Absolutely. It's a huge,
You're not a man yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was sweet. He was like, I want to be your sweetheart.
Yeah.
I'm going to marry you.
I was wondering, and it's interesting how the whole show tied together. But yeah, that was a very sweet moment. And then it was totally ruined because
everyone was watching
and made her feel like crap about it.
I'd have been like, first of all, why are you watching me? Like, you wanted me out the house. I got out the house like you wanted. I'm minding my own business.
No, she can't win. She can't even have a moment.
Kinnear has a telescope, super long scope.
Super creepy.
That's not normal.
No. Well, he was clearly, he was very interested, and then he was jealous, or he didn't like the idea of someone getting in the way of where he was headed, which was Grace.
Or he thought he was.
Or he thought he was, and then that didn't work out so well.
Yeah. And then, Grace tells Dr. Jordan about her dreams she's been having.
Yeah, so the fourth and fifth episode to me was creepy. Did it not, kind of scare you a little bit?
It did, but it's the fact that she sleepwalks and she doesn't realize she sleepwalks because her feet were just as dirty as the ground outside.
Yes, yeah, so she was really outside,
So her dream, even within her dreams, she actually did go outside and she did go back inside.
Right.
And it's like her dream was like being pulled to so many different temptations of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not knowing where to land.
Right. Now, that dream was really, that was very creepy. And the next day, her seeing all the laundry hanging in the trees, just as,
the three bloody angels.
Yeah. I just felt like that, they did a great job with, you get in her head a bit, and you see this, nightmare that she's living. I thought that was really great. It was really effective because it scared me. And it didn't scare me, but it definitely creeped me out, you know?
The fear factor was alive.
Just very, uncomfortable to watch that.
Which I also think is the point.
Yeah, absolutely. They did a great job.
And then, we're going into part five. So part five, it opened with an Emily Dickinson quote, and the reason I love it. No, it was Edgar Allan Poe, and it was The Death, Then of a Beautiful Woman. It is unquestionably the most poetical topic in the world.
To say that the death of,
The death of a beautiful woman is unquestionably the most poetical topic in the world.
Well, I think that, is so perfect, because I was thinking about this, not to segue too much, but, do you think that Dr. Jordan would have, been as, interested and invested in Grace if she wasn't so beautiful? And, would he have put so much energy into perhaps pardoning her, trying to pardon her with a letter? I think so much of this has to do with the fascination around her. She's this young, beautiful woman.
And she's still How young, could even she though do being this? In prison for, 15 years.
But it's so much about, it's this, he's sexually attracted to her, obviously, so he's, he's a lot more invested. And if she wasn't like that,
I feel like it's also her spirit. Like, there's, like, something about her spirit. Like, even she's still in the story, like, there's still an innocence about her. Even it hasn't been, like, there's a small little tight hope of innocence that's just still tied to her body that just was not like, squashed out of her. It was not broken.
Yeah, the kind of naivety. There was a bit of that innocence still. And I thought it was really interesting when Dr. Jordan asks if anything, like, if Mr. Kinnear did anything, like, bad to Grace. Like, did he touch her?
Yes.
Her reaction was so, like, I can't believe you're asking me this. You're just like everyone else. You know, I thought that was really interesting that she reacted that way. Because I think that, again, highlights her sort of, she's just not very aware of what's going on around her. I mean, she is, but to me that was surprising that she reacted that way. Like, I would think she'd be a little more aware of, well, yes, naturally that's something that would be questioned.
Well, like, I think it's for her, like, in the asylum, if they asked, like, it would have been, like, a totally different thing and something to be taken advantage of versus him asking it now, even though she knows he won't take advantage of her.
Right.
Her mind jumps straight back to, like, the situation she was in, and maybe that's also causing the biggest reaction she could possibly make
sort
about it.
Yes. Well, yeah, like, that there's sort of a, and then they go back into that, like, there's this perverse, like, fascination with the bad things that have happened to her. You know, she talks about that in this sixth episode. We'll get to that.
So today, part five is a discussion about the day Nancy and Kinnear died. And Grace goes through her, you know, her experience. Her sleep, you know, Nancy wants her to sleep with her again now that Kinnear's out of the house. Mm-hmm. She flips the switch on her pregnancy hormones, is all I gotta say. I'm just going to say pregnancy hormones, because, she's crazy as hell.
Yeah, she does. She definitely bounces around personality. Like, she's sweet, and then she's insane. Yeah, I think it was the fourth episode where, like, Grace is brushing Nancy's hair. I'm like, oh, this is a sweet moment. And then she switches
real quick. I think also Nancy might have been bipolar.
Maybe she was bipolar more than Grace. Yeah,
like, for the time period, like, obviously there's not names for that, but there has to be, like, something unchemically balanced in Nancy. Yeah,
she's losing it. I mean, it's so, like, I have a hard time. So my first reaction to Nancy was, like, I hated her. I couldn't stand her. I thought she was weird and creepy and just annoying. But the more as I finished watching the show, you know, it dawned on me, like, no, she's just really actually, I think she's misunderstood. And, again, she's insecure and she's in a position, like, she's got to fight. She's fighting for her life here, you know, like, now that she's pregnant, she has to do what she can so she doesn't end up on the street and end up like Mary Whitney did. So I have a little more sympathy towards Nancy than I did originally.
I do too, but that don't give you a right to be a bitch.
Doesn't give you a right. But I think also, like, that was, you know, that was the time period, unfortunately. Like, the way Grace was treated was, that was typical of a servant.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's, like, the way we look at it today with our eyes and this, you know, 2017, it's like, what the hell, lady?
Like she slapped her. I wish you would. I don't care if you're pregnant or not. I wish you would try it today.
No, yeah, she would not do well.
The things I want to say.
Yeah. I kind of wish, there was a moment, right, where Grace, well, she does talk back a bit, and that's why she gets slapped. But I wish there was a little bit more. There's not much, not the kind of fighting that, like, maybe I would do, which would be more, like, in your face,
like, screaming. Yeah, I would have kept going, like, even, like, I'm like, okay, you hit me, okay, I'm still gonna keep on talking about you, because now you're better than me, but you're still a servant like I am.
Yeah, now you're really screwed.
I'm doing twice the work of a whole mansion house right now.
So, yeah, it's interesting that, I mean, that was, Grace could have really, she could have, like, accelerated everything and told, you know, McKenna, she could have Mr. Kinnear, you know, that Nancy was pregnant. Like, I feel like there were things that Grace could have done to protect herself that she didn't.
But I think if she would have told Miss Kinnear, that gets Nancy out the house, but that leaves her alone with Mr. Kinnear. So it's also a double-edged sword of how the chips are going to fall where they may.
Yeah. See, I wonder, like, what would be worse? Up on the street without a reference?
Is he good with his stick? That's a good question.
Wait, what was that?
I'm using words, so because we're on a podcast.
Got it. I thought I heard you say it. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, he's pretty good looking.
That's a viable, and for him to be like in his like late 40s, early 50s, he's still attractive.
He is a handsome guy. By the way, the actor like looks nothing like he looked on the show. Like they completely dyed his hair and his beard. He looks completely different. I was like, who is this guy? They did a good job.
They really did. And then so obviously Grace tells Jordan her, you know what happened because also her hair is cut.
Oh, yeah.
The guards cut her hair because apparently she talked back too many times.
I mean...
I'd have been pissed. I'm sorry. Her hair is gorgeous, and as a female, I don't want my hair cut unnecessarily. Oh, my God.
I have nightmares that I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have my hair cut, or, like, I'm going to one day, like, accidentally just, like, cut... I mean, it's...
It's like, I know who killed me. Like,
no.
I mean, I know what you did last summer. It was, like, yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker for a second.
No, seriously, I would flip out. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure she had... other things to worry about. I mean, it was obviously terrible that happened, but I think, yeah, it'd be a little more devastating to us.
Yeah, and so she tells him about her day, and so we find out that McDermott gets Nancy, knocks her over the head, puts her in the cellar, but somehow she's still alive.
Right.
And then when Miss Kinnear gets home, shoots him before he even gets to the stable.
Yeah.
He doesn't even walk fully in.
That was I mean, I knew he said he was going to shoot him, but geez, that was
a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of things. And then we find out Jeremiah is back.
Jeremiah
is now Jerome DuPont, a medical doctor of hypnosis.
Yeah, he's fascinating. I kind of wish that we had a little more, like, insight into what happens to him after this show or after the scene where he hypnotizes Grace. Because, yeah, there's a lot going on there. I mean, clearly, I wonder if he was actually kind of in cahoots with Grace doing that hypnosis.
I feel like they maybe talked about it, but I also feel like that voice, that was nowhere near Grace's, that was nowhere near human.
No, that was...
I think that was like a totally... aspect they didn't expect, either one of them.
Right. Oh, you don't think that Jeremiah was expecting
his
that?
Face was like
shocked. Yeah, I don't know, maybe he's just a really good actor.
Well, we know Zachary Levi is a very great actor. Yeah. Congratulations, Zachary Levi. You did a great job.
Wonderful job.
And you know, he wants to hypnotize Grace.
Yes.
But Jordan's is a little skeptic about the whole situation, and he's slowly losing his mind. Because of his attraction to Grace and him not knowing whether she is innocent or she is guilty. And yeah, he goes home and he's dreaming. He has his own dream.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that in the beginning of the series, he seems pretty convinced that Grace is innocent and that she's been, you know, that she's been abused and that, you know, she's obviously been mistreated and he wants to help her, and as the story continues, he's, you know, the cracks are forming in his
own psyche.
What he believes to be true. And now, yeah, can you imagine, you think you know something and you think you're getting to know this person, but actually it's going in the reverse, you know, direction. That I think the more he hears from her, the more doubts he has. And
it was funny because my part was like, maybe... Because I had a theory for Jordan. I was just like, either he's always been that way, and somehow he needed a,
like,
catalyst.
Like crazy, like losing it, you mean? Or
like, just, like, he's not as put together as right. He seemed.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And that he just needed a catalyst, in a way, for that to show off. Because I felt like the reason he kept saying, oh, I need more time, because I think he wanted to spend more time with Grace more than it was just... to discover if she was guilty or innocent.
Right. Well, I think he's become obsessed and you know, yeah, there's this fascination that it's like she's become this drug that it's never enough. He's not satisfied, you know, and especially, you know, you imagine like he's having these sexual fantasies about her that he knows will never, you know, like come to fruition because he can't, there's no way, you know,
unless she's out.
Unless she, so, yeah, which...
He could have just did. Like, if that's all you want, all you have to do is write write the pardon they needed to write, and you can have her. She will seriously probably be willingly yours.
Well, maybe there was, you know, he was also struggling over the fact that he's this, you know, he's in a position where he needs to, you know, he has to follow these code of ethics, you know, especially as a doctor, and he's obviously devoted his life and his career to this profession. So if he were to do that, he'd be throwing all that away.
He did, because after sexually dreaming about Grace, he sleeps with his landlady, who creeped into his bed, by the way.
Oh, yeah, creepy. No, and then he's thinking, yeah. But you're talking about that, not the very last scene, right?
Like the last scene of part five, yes.
Part
five, where she, yes. like, he's having a sexual dream, but somehow the landlady sneaks in.
And yeah,
she's happy with herself that she got him to sleep with her finally.
No, poor
like, she
thing.
Smiles. Like, she's like, I know, like, and he's like, oh my God, like, no. And he leaves straight up the next day.
Yeah.
But, like, why are you proud of this lady?
I think she's so, she's so desperate, and she wants him, and that makes it even more, so, like, sad and depressing. And, you know, again, it's just another example of this woman, like, she's doing what she can, and it's, in our eyes today, it's, like, it's despicable. Like, why would you do that? But
for the time era, you gotta think of your own survival. This man, he paid you 2 months in advance. He cooked for you. I mean, I will fall in love with you, too, I guess.
Yeah, she wanted a husband. She wanted a man. And she thought maybe this would be us, her new man. And that didn't work out.
Which brings us to part six. Yeah. So after freaking out, Jordan leaves abruptly and goes to Toronto to visit the lawyer that Grace had for the murder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he has all these questions about, is she lying or is she not lying? Right. But then the lawyer says, did Scheherazade lie?
You were telling me.
So you don't know who Scheherazade is. Okay, so Scheherazade is a woman. So back in Arabian Nights, the Sultan would take a new bride, and then by the morning he would kill it. He went through 100 brides before Scheherazade. So when Scheherazade came, she would tell him and weave a story and end a story, but start a new one. And when the sun would come up, he would need to know how it ended.
Uh-huh.
So for 1,000 days and 1,000 nights, she weaved different stories and different tales for the Sultan until he fell in love with her.
Amazing. Okay. That's, well, you know, that just made me think of the ending with the quilt and how she, her quilt had a piece for Mary Whitney, you know, like a section for Nancy.
And a piece and from her prison. Herself.
Yeah. And it just, I think there's that, you know, the quilt was symbolic of her weaving these stories in and out to Dr. Jordan and to anyone who would listen, you know, and her kind of catering those stories to what she thought they wanted to hear. Because it was her moment of, you know, feeling wanted and feeling important. Because for the rest of the time as a servant, she's not feeling that, and obviously not in prison. So that's, yeah.
Yeah. So Grace gets hypnotized.
Yeah.
And so in a room full of people.
Yes.
And Lydia is just trying to push up on Jordan, put her hand on his knee, her hand. I'm just like, lady.
The damsel.
And I think that was the switch that flicked on her, also, you know, we can say, for Mary to come out.
Oh, right.
For the voice. Yes. That voice is creepy.
That voice was creepy.
But it was a true voice. She was like, she was just going in on everybody. She's like, you a slut. You're a fraud.
That must have felt so good. Like, can you imagine? I mean, you can't say anything you really think, especially when you're the servant. Can you imagine you have this moment of, like, I can say whatever I want because I'm hypnotized? She probably felt great. Whether she was really, I have my thing. I don't know if I really think she was hypnotized. So let's just say she wasn't and she was acting. Like, that must have felt really good.
That would have been. But my theory is, if she really was hypnotized, and that was Mary, because, like, the whispers, like, that was a very big thing from 4, 5, and 6, the whisper she kept getting, like, let me in.
Right. Yes. That's, yeah.
And in a way that made me think of, like, multiple personality disorder, like, even though Mary left, she had Mary still with her in a way as a different personality. Right. Which has, when you have separate personalities, you don't know you have separate personalities. So absolutely, yeah. Your views aren't the same, and you won't remember.
Your memory, right. I mean, if that's what really, if she really is, like, telling the truth, that really was what happened, then, yeah, that would explain the blackout, and then that would explain...
why she can't remember giving away her handkerchief.
Exactly.
And being on the carriage 1 minute with McDermott, and then in the field in the next.
Right. Yes. And that would also... you know, tie in nicely when Mary Whitney dies. Remember, she freaks out that her spirit wasn't released out through the window.
Yeah, and then, but before that, she thought she was Grace. She thought she was Mary looking for Grace.
Yes, yes. So yeah, no, it all ties in well. So do you think that's what?
I kind of do. Like, there's like, if you, the voices, because Grace kind of remembers what happened in the asylum,
mm-hmm.
but Mary. She was talking to Mary the whole time. So it was like almost a correlation of sometimes I'm here in the asylum, sometimes I'm really not. Like, there are blanks in that too.
Right.
Because Mary was like, oh, I get to talk. I get to actually have a voice now. It doesn't, like, Grace can go in the back of my mind and she, you know, she's innocent. She doesn't have to, like, really listen or take it.
I mean, I think it like, works out perfectly if that's what happens, you know? And I think there's definitely an element of yes, there's perhaps, you know, multiple personalities, or, you know, Mary is a personality of Grace's. But I do wonder about kind of the rest of what we hear from Grace, you know, like, because she says it a lot, you know, I changed my story to Dr. Jordan to sort of for him to hear what I think he wants to hear. And so, like, there's this play on truth the whole time, you know, like, you don't know what, like, is perfectly, like, what each, like, scenario, like, what is the truth of each scenario? You still don't, like, really know as a viewer.
Because this is what I believe, and this is my mind. So if Mary did take over Grace, because all she remembers is being in the field with the snails.
Right.
And then she... maybe even going back for a second. But, like, there's parts where it just doesn't make sense, because you wouldn't know, like, if Mary did take over at that time, then she would have gone downstairs. She would have helped strangle, because she was looking for her...
using her scarf.
Her scarf, she's like, it was a present, like...
from Mary and Whitney,
I need it.
Yeah. No, that, and I think that's something, that would explain why... the scarf was used, you know, as Mary Whitney gave that to Grace, and now Mary Whitney is using it to
kill
Nancy. Poor Nancy.
Nancy just got a raw deal.
She did get a raw deal. I think that's, like, that's pretty much, that's a good way of putting it. Like,
got a raw deal.
I mean, I don't know if she, was she ever happy? Did she have a moment of happiness? Maybe.
Maybe before Grace, probably.
Yeah.
Or at least a simple one.
Still brings me back to wondering why she hired someone so beautiful, though. Nancy.
I think she also thought Grace wasn't that smart, maybe.
Maybe. I just think.
But, like.
That wasn't very smart of Nancy. Nancy should have hired someone else.
Ugly.
He'd probably still be alive.
Probably. And so Dr. Jordan decides that, you know, he can't give the pardon or write the report that is needed for Grace to the Reverend. And Grace is kind of.
She's
like, you know, why did he leave that?
She's shocked. Goodbye? Yeah, she's so upset. And Dr. Jordan, what did he say? He said he suffered from 2 years of nervous, you know, anxiety and exhaustion before he left
for
the war. But yeah, he was so distraught over what he thought was true, and wasn't able to come to a definitive conclusion that, you know, he bailed and left poor Grace.
Yeah.
So she was in prison for another 11 years.
So we're 13 years later.
Oh, yeah, 13.
Grace is finally pardoned. Her hair grew back after 13 years.
She's aged a little bit.
With some gray, a little gray in there.
Yeah,
you know,
she still looks great.
On a ferry, which I thought was adorable. And, you know, she said, we have a gentleman waiting for you. It was going to be a surprise. But just know that there's a gentleman at the end of this trek.
And who did Grace think it was?
She thought it was Jordan.
Right.
I thought it was Jordan.
I thought it was... I was hoping it was Jordan. The way they kind of set it up.
The worst would have... like, not the worst, but the second would have been Jeremiah.
Right. And I'm glad it wasn't Jeremiah. I never really liked Jeremiah.
I like Jeremiah.
There's something just obnoxious about him. He's like, I don't know. He just reminds me of like a kind of obnoxious hipster.
What is Jamie? As a man.
Yes, yes. Turns out it, yes.
With this full, like, lumberjack beard.
Yeah, his little red ginger beard.
And, you know, he says, I own this farm.
Yeah.
I've
always been fond of you or had warm feelings for you.
So will you marry me? She's like, don't do it for, you know, out of pity.
Right, because he was the, his testimony is ultimately what caused Grace to go to prison.
And first I'd have been like, okay, really, dude?
I'd be like, this is really weird.
really,
where have
right?
you been? Yeah.
You ain't come to visit me?
Yeah. What have you been doing for the last 13 years?
30 years?
30, well, yeah.
Yeah, like she was in jail
that's
for
right.
like...
Where have you been?
Where have you been for 30 years?
Why dude? Have you been married? Like, that's
where's
a whole
your
other...
kids?
Yeah.
But okay, you want to marry me?
All right.
I guess I'll do it. We will have no service in the house. I can do it myself.
Right. She's like, I am not messing with anyone doing what I do well. What did she say? She says that, she didn't want a servant because they pry too much and they listen at the doors. So is that what Grace did?
We saw she did that a little bit with Kinnear and Nancy in the little parlor.
It's just funny that she has, that's what she thinks. It's telling.
A little bit. And then, you know, he wants her to tell her about his time, her time in the asylum. And my first thought is, why? Why should I recount the worst times of my life to you? Technically, we should be over this. I'm marrying you.
Absolutely. Well, I think that, so that's like a huge part of, I think, this whole show is Grace has, in one of her letters to Dr. Jordan, says, you know, my husband asks me to recount these, you know, horrible stories, these horrible things that happened to me. And he sits and listens like it's a fairy tale. And she says, and that's exactly what you would do, Dr. Jordan. You would sit and listen in fascination and at these grotesque things that would happen to me. You know, what is that? Why? Like, what is this fascination that people want to hear about these horrible things that are happening to women? And I think that's kind of like what this show is. Like, why are we so fascinated by this female murder? Like, why back then were they so fascinated? Because I don't think there's the same fascination with men. Like,
at all.
You know, it's about, I think it's this weird, like, sexual thing, and this, it's a twisted.
Anyway, it kind of reminds me of the Cynthia, I'm hoping I get it right, Cynthia Brown case that's been going over the internet lately. A 16-year-old girl gets life in prison for murdering a 43-year-old man who bought her, but a 19-year-old dude who rapes a girl in college gets 6 months. And how is
absolutely
that fair?
No, I think this, you know, a huge shout out to Margaret Atwood for creating another show that highlights the horrible, like, situations that women have had to endure for years, you know, hundreds of years and beyond that. But between Handmaid's Tale and this show, you know,
I would say the strength of a woman too to go, like, for Grace, like, she's been through so much and still she does have an inner strength about herself, and it's a strong character with all the crap that she's been through. She still isn't, she's jaded, but she's not jaded, if that makes any sense.
Well, she's come out on the other end of it, you know, where a lot of people don't, unfortunately. Like Mary Whitney did not. And Nancy did not, you know. But yeah, it's this, she's constantly had to be around this predatory nature of men, and somehow she gets out of it. And I think that, you know, I think that's what Margaret Atwood was really trying to look at. Like this, that is, you know, which is obviously so relevant, which going on today, with especially with the Hollywood executives, it's all coming out about all the sexual harassment and sexual abuse. And
funny enough, even a woman sexual harassment of a male actor. Executive, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, it's not one-sided.
I know, but I was just like, I thought that was interesting, because, like, you're hearing all the things about the men, but, like, just I heard the one story about the woman, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, okay. No. I mean, I think it's predominantly it's men, but that are doing the harassing, but yeah, it's not just towards women, it's also towards men and vice versa, but I think what this show is definitely, it's looking at positions of power, and especially in the show, it's men that are in positions of power always, and what women, you know, have to do to survive.
And survival is key. No matter what.
It is.
Because you'll never know. What I also love about the show, like, very big shout out to Margaret Atwood, is the fact that survival, you'll never know what you're going to do until you have to do it. And, like, whether it's going to be right or wrong in somebody else's eyes, yeah. Your mind is the exactly. right thing to do for yourself.
Exactly. Well, I think that's interesting because, you know, especially with what's going on with the Hollywood execs being accused of, again, sexual harassment and abuse, people have all kinds of opinions on... why were the women, you know, going into those rooms with those executives, et cetera? But it's like until you're, like you're saying, until you're in that position and until you have struggled or gone through whatever they've gone through, like you can't judge. And, you know, whether or not Grace did this, it's important to look at that, you know. What position was she in? What options did she have?
And I think that was the point of the show itself. It doesn't matter if she is guilty or if she is even innocent. It's what leads up to it. It's the circumstances. Exactly. At the end of the day, it's the circumstances what leads to the bigger decisions, leads to the bigger consequences right. in and of itself.
Exactly. And, like, because the show made sure to highlight, you know, moments of, even as a little girl or, you know, young teenager, young woman, her dad abusing her, you know, and then the abuse that she endured in the asylum and in the prison. Like, where does that, you know, that rage come? Where do you put that rage, you know? And if it was towards killing Mr. Kinnear and Nancy, you know, it would make more sense.
Or even the other presence of a different personality.
Right. Yes, yeah, as a way of, like, coping. Yeah.
Well, guys, that's it for us. I mean, this show is amazing.
It is.
I'm hoping for another season because I am really interested in actually getting more fleshing out of
yes
what happens, like how did like Jeremiah's story, like between absolutely. Him leaving her, even though he knew what could possibly happen, to like becoming a doctor
right.
of hypnotism.
Absolutely. And you know, I would love to see the story. I would want to see all of Nancy's story. Like, I think she's so fascinating too. You know, yeah, what caused her to go from her as a young adult to rebel to living as a mistress to
dead.
Sadly.
And Jamie's story a little bit, because I'm just like, dude, yeah. I need to know what you've been doing.
Yeah,
I need to understand this.
Oh, and then even Dr. Jordan, you know, I want to know more about him.
Because he, oh yeah, he's, the Worf effed him up.
Yeah, I think like that comment combined with him having to deal with the stories of Grace made him completely go bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, guys. Again, I am Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey, guys. Ashley Sullivan. And you can find me on Instagram at Ashley Sullivan Actress.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.